Welcome to the Draw Doctors Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. We are talking all things overachievers this week. Those players who just had one out of the bag and we think are going to take a bit of a dive next year. Examples of that, I had Nick Vlosten, who was supposed to take a dive this year but kept on his merry way. So, bit of a fail on that one. I'm your host, John Crockett, and joining us as always, the sun is shining on him like a majestic Western Victorian he is. It is Stevie Fizz. Welcome.
Yeah, g'day, Jono. G'day, listeners. It's going to be interesting. I'm heading out on in a few days. Bit of golf, bit of R&R. So it's going to be sad leaving Western Victoria for Central Victoria, which is clearly inferior.
Fair enough. Hitting the, you say playing golf, did you?
Yeah, I'm going to play a bit of golf. The blog's going swimmingly, but I need to travel outside my jurisdiction to start ticking off a few other courses. Didn't think that through particularly well when I started, that there might be a place called like Mallacoota that's fucking 10 hours away.
Did you know there's a golf course by the water treatment plant there in Bangholme?
Yes, I did. Eastern Sward.
Drove past it today. Never knew it was there. Fantastic.
Yeah. I knew that was there. That was.
Yeah. Is that private or public?
Nah, it's. Oh, it used to be. It used to be private, but it was for like a company use. But yeah. I think you can get on now.
Yeah, cool.
The one you might not know about, Jono, is the one up the Millionaires Club up at Frankston, just near Mount Erin.
I know Mount Erin. I did not know there's a golf course there.
Yeah, so it's like ultra private, invitation only. There's a white picket fence, and it just says private property.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That's like a golf course that like the Queen's been to and everything.
Yeah, I have to get on Google Maps and check that one out. Did not even know.
Yeah, right, I didn't know that until I dated that chick, and she lived in a house that backed onto the course.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. And he is up there in sunny Queensland, and it is 7 o'clock at the moment, but it'd be pitch dark in there as we are now in daylight savings. Welcome to your camp.
Yeah, g'day, mate. I can only imagine that actually the Queen would probably hit the ball further than you, Jono, if you played around together. But I'll tell you what, going in the next 3 weeks, I am every chance to see Geelong at the Gabba every time as we march on through to a premiership flag. If they play this week at the Gabba against the Pies, if they win, they play next week at the Gabba against the Lions. If they win that, they obviously play at the grand final. I need to buy a membership. I need to support this club.
You do know that Collingwood's going to beat them this week.
Shut up, Jono.
No, I'm putting money on Geelong.
As a Pies fan? Really?
I'm not a Pies fan. I'm a lifelong Suns fan.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Collingwood's fired up.
It's the classic letdown situation.
Classic, yeah. I suppose you lose that qualifying final.
You see every year that qualifying final, the team, like everyone writes them off, and the other teams had this heroic win. And they just come out and kick the living shit out of them.
Well, that's what I said to some friends about the Richmond game. I said Richmond 10 goals against next week. Like,
fucking oath.
Put your money on it. As I said, we are talking all things overachievers, and we have an ISO draft of our favourite soft drinks. It'll be pretty interesting to see how that goes. And we've also got your questions as well on the Twitters and the Facebooks. But Cam, why don't you take us through your first overachiever?
Yeah, so my first one sort of extends on what we were talking about last week in regards to the opportunity that will be available at the GWS in regards to their defence, seeing as they've basically taken a rake over them with Aiden Corr leaving and Zach Williams now leaving as well. There's going to be some opportunity there, but it also means that maybe there's going to be opportunity that's filled by someone that's existing and in the team and has done the role before. And that to me is Harry Perryman. So he played a lot of this year drifting through the midfield, and he managed a really handy average of 70 this year, a BCV, upwards of 85 heading towards 90. And considering you would have got him for very, very cheap off the either off the waivers or in your draft, that he was quite surprising. But if he does flick back to that defender role, it's not as fantasy relevant. So when he was playing there last year and the year before, he managed an average of 75. And so that's in regular game time. So it's a proper 75. And the year before, just 55.5. But you'd almost write that one off as his second year. But I think that 75 mark is maybe where he could head to. And that would be a pretty significant drop from this year. Basically an 8 to 9 point drop. So have and almost unrosterable if he's midfield only. So, well, definitely unrosterable if he's midfield only.
Yeah, so he's more going to be that keeper stash, and hopefully he gets that cushy role in the years to come. Isn't
it's just there's so many midfielders there. Like, there's one thing they don't need, and it's another midfielder, right? Like, I just don't.
But that's good. That's the good thing about GWS is they all get injured every year.
So yeah, that's true.
There is a role for him.
There will probably be a 1 to 2 week stint next year where he plays in the midfield. Yeah.
Can you see a world where he's good at his role and that's where he stays? And we know that, well, the media reports that there's a cap squeeze, so they might lose a midfielder, and he just retains his role. Like, is that a world? Like, I mean, Sam Taylor missed a hell of a lot of this year. Isaac Cummings coming through.
Isaac Cummings will definitely take one of the spots. I think there may be a world, but I mean, with the cap squeeze, Zach Williams is going. Jeremy Cameron may be going. Like, there's enough money leaving at the moment that I don't think the cap squeeze will do it.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Yeah.
And my first overachiever for the year is Hugh Greenwood from Steve's favourite team, the Gold Coast Suns, averaging a nice 105 Supercoach this year and the 77 AFL Fantasy. He is turning 29 next year, and we know we've got Matt Rowell returning from that shoulder injury. Noah Anderson was pretty good in that midfield, and Took Miller was also in that midfield and played a pretty good role. So a case could be made for Took Miller to miss out, but I think it's Hugh Greenwood, and especially the fact he is going to lose that forward status, obviously more Supercoach relevant than his AFL Fantasy, but when he does lose that forward next year and his average is going to drop, this is the first time he's averaged 105. Last year was in the mid-80s. If he returns to something like that next year, then it's M7 and maybe a bench space at best. And the fact that Hugh Greenwood's game's built on tackles, we've seen it like with Devon Smith, he had that banging year, he was averaging 8 or 9 tackles a game. Hugh averaged 7 this year, so, and the 17 disposals. So with Rowell and Anderson coming back, you might expect him to drop a couple of tackles a game, maybe even a couple of possessions. In his previous years, he's been more of a handball to kick ratio, then this year was pretty even on that kick to handball. So it'll be pretty interesting to see how they actually use Hugh next year and if he can sustain those tackles from this year.
Yeah, and just to sort of echo what you're saying, just reading the first four rounds of the season, 57, 68, 77, 49, from an AFL fantasy perspective, 116, 95, 116, and 61. The lower side, obviously, on the AFL fantasy side, and that coincided with when Matt Rowell was healthy. So from then, he went 109, 103, 109, 96. So, like, the Matt Rowell effect on Hugh Greenwood could be pretty significant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Steve. What round do you think he's getting drafted? I mean, he's losing. This is always one of my big questions when we're talking about players we expect to drop off. He's lost forward status, so that obviously makes him less attractive to draft, but he's still got a very healthy average. Where would you see him being drafted likely?
14 to 17 potentially? Like,
well, overall? Like,
no, overall, in the round 14 to 17.
Oh, okay. So, no, yeah. Is that where you're comfortable taking him as opposed to where he might go?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I don't see him sustaining 105. I think 93, 94 at best for Supercoach. And again, that's probably your M7 range.
Yeah, so where do you think he'll go? Like, what, around 7, 8, something like that?
Yeah, 8, 9, 10, 11, something like that.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
I think he does get overdrafted a little bit.
Yeah, sure. So he might still be rosterable, but just not. He won't return value.
Exactly. Who's your first overachiever there, Steve?
It's Michael Walters, my favourite player in the AFL from Fremantle. And he averaged a healthy 73 Dream Team points. That's without the whatever the EMT or DMZ or whatever they call it, scaling, loading, leave loading, and 98 Supercoach. And he ranked as both the number seven by average forward in both Supercoach and Dream Team. And I think when you head into your drafts next year, based on who you're likely going to lose as a forward, because I think he'll retain forward status, he could actually be the number one DT forward going into next year by average. So that's why I think he's a really important player to talk about. And I got some stats to really back up these numbers. He won't be the number one SC forward because Tom Hawkins was in front of him. And look, we might pick up a Dusty or a Danger or whoever. So average 73 Dream Team, 98 Supercoach. Over the first 8 weeks, 112 Supercoach and 83 Dream Team. So they are massively over his numbers. So obviously in the last six games, things have to go south. 81 Supercoach, 59 Dream Team. So that's a drop of 31 Supercoach and 24 Dream Team points a game. Why did he lose these points? Out of the midfield. These are his CBAs from the first eight games. 8, 10, 16, 12, 12, 19, 14, and 7. Over the last six, he had 1, 7, 0, 0, 0, 0. They have moved on from Michael Walters in the midfield. They've moved toward, like, and it's Fife, Sarong, Brayshaw, Chera. I know Dave Mundy was in there and he's 972 years old. But Darcy Tucker was also injured for a lot of the year. He was getting CBAs at the start of the year. Let's not forget about that. I don't want to turn it into an age thing, but Michael Walters is on the north side of 30 next season. I know he's been a great player over the last, say, 4 years, especially for your fantasy, but I can't see Michael Walters retaining value, and especially when you consider he might be off the board really early based on where he comes in on average, because we know a lot of people will draft positions based on those averages.
Sounds like another good year to punt forwards next year, to be honest. Like, if he's going to be the top averaging forward at the start of the year, I'm not paying a premium for that.
Every year is a good year to punt forwards.
That's true.
Your second overachiever, Cam?
Yeah, so I think even just looking through the list and trying to find who to pick for the show and do a bit of analysis on, I was sort of arguing, and I think using the same logic that Jono was with Hugh Greenwood, like, who is going to be impacted by someone coming back? Who's going to be impacted by a Matt Rowell coming back? And I was just like, you know what? Matt Rowell is going to be impacted by Matt Rowell coming back. this year, he obviously took everyone by surprise. He saw Sam Walsh produce the best first season on record, and he basically said, hold my notebook, and went absolutely bananas for the first four rounds of the year. And he was averaging 88.5 in AFL fantasy, unadjusted, Steve, and a massive 126.5 Supercoach, which is just phenomenal numbers for a draftee. And I think it's, yeah, a little bit interesting, but you have to consider the record that we have with people returning from shoulder injuries and really bad shoulder injuries. It's just not good. We always use the examples of Rocky and Ablett, and they came back from the year after their shoulder injury averaging about 15 to 20 points less than their prior year, so a pretty big hit. And then if you want to look at something more recent, you only have to go as far as Taranto this year. He averaged 15 points less on his previous year as well. So it's kind of, I think the numbers.
Was that an injury affected game then, or was that a preseason game that he did that injury?
It was injury, but
pre-season. I'd say,
was it preseason?
I can't remember.
I think it might be in season, in the first round. But
Okay. Yeah, but I've taken 50 weeks in between. I forgot.
Correct. Yeah. But still, 15 points less on average, right? So pretty significant hit in regards to his average. Matt Rowell is still going to be a really good player. He'll still end up maybe 90 plus average, but he's going to be drafted really, really high, like really high. And I just can't see value picking him very early.
I don't know about. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think he might be overdrafted, but I think he's a really interesting guy where he'll get drafted. Could be a lot of variance.
Yeah, a bit of variance, I'd suggest.
Probably not as in a loaded midfield like Taranto.
That's true, but Taranto was the bull the year before. Like, why?
Yeah,
why?
But how many players missed? Like, Kelly missed, Canelio missed. They, like, all these guys missed stacks of time. You remember, like, they were playing Toby Green and Zach Williams through the midfield.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. But it's still a fair regression.
Not to hate. Yeah. I'm with you on the shoulder thing because we've seen it with other guys like Ollie Wines as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's interesting. He's an interesting guy.
I think we've got probably enough trends to say, yeah, probably a bit of a drop-off. Yep.
My second overachiever is the one and only Jed the Anderson Goaterson. Coming off 105 Supercoach average and 83 AFL fantasy, absolutely went tits with Ben Cunnington missing majority of the year, knocking out 8 Supercoach tons and the paltry 3 AFL fantasy tons for the year. Nothing really much changed for Jed Anderson in terms of him gathering the ball. He only averaged half possession more than he did in previous years, but his kick-to-handball ratio swung massively from one kick to 1.4 handballs to 1.2 kicks to one handball this year. So that had a lot to do with how he was building his scores. And the thing is, with Cunnington coming back next year, I think he takes up a lot of that ball as well. This is a guy who averages in the 20s, Ben Cunnington. And with the big rebuild coming through North Melbourne, even though Jed Anderson is 26, I see him being part as the B-team midfielder group. So I think they're going to roll with LDU, Simkin and Cunnington as the A-team midfield group. And Anderson's going to be that second-string midfielder who won't get as much time in that midfield, might spend a bit of time on a wing or maybe a bit of forward if they do move Aaron Hall on. So I'm not really too comfortable in taking Jed Anderson. People, as we've just said, do draft on that average base there, and 105 Supercoach is pretty handy there. It'd be M3, M4, and 83 AFL fantasy is nothing to sneeze at either. But going in to 2019, he only averaged 86 Supercoach last year and 78 AFL fantasy. So they were both his best years, and I'm not really keen on buying that because that's pretty much unrosterable and would only get him if things change there at North Melbourne.
Yeah, I think your last statement's the key point, Jono, if things change. So I'm in a hold pattern on North Melbourne. I want to see
what
happens.
Are you on plane?
Yes. I'm in a hold pattern. I want to see what happens there if they move on from Higgins and or Cunnington. We know there's a massive list shakeup at North Melbourne. So
there's even rumours of Goldie wanting out. I mean,
so that's what I mean. Like, I'm a bit more cagey. We've seen Goaterson be very relevant in the past, and he's only 26. 26 isn't—that's not old by any stretch.
No, I actually thought he was older, to be honest. Like, it just seems like he's been around forever and a day. But
yeah, I think he actually could be that lead dog if they moved on from Cunnington and Higgins or one or the other. Simpkins got probably more tricks forward, so
I see a world where they come out next year with a massive statement and the starting midfield is LDU, Simpkin and Anderson. You know, like, just completely throw Cunnington under the bus. But the main thing for me with this one that, you know, has me a little bit interested is tank. Does he have the tank? And because his time on ground this year, right, 70%. That's pretty low in the shortened game. Why are they not using him as much as they need to?
That's how they use him.
I know, but like,
he's just a burst. You know, he's that burst midfielder.
Is he a burst player? I don't think he is. Like, I kind of see him. He's basically got the Matt Crouch waddle going on, and that's kind of about it. You know, and is that who he is? And if that's who he is, maybe he can still rack it up and get the numbers. But he hasn't proven that before.
He also sort of became the run with role once Luke McDonald started being exceptional off half back. So he did have that. Yeah, he started playing that. It wasn't a hard tag, but it was sort of just run with.
It's about a 70% of the time tag.
Yeah, exactly.
He must have been tagging Matt Crouch week in, week out.
He's just tagging
Matt, I need to learn how to be a waddler. How do I do it?
But yeah, that's the only thing. But I actually see tremendous upside for Anderson.
talent's there. Talent's there. Just everything's going to go right.
How can he have upside if he doesn't get on the park?
No, because there's plenty of time.
That is the upside.
Plenty of time more for him to get on the park.
He's what, fucking 26. Minutes? They've shown what they're going to do with him.
All right, Steve, run us through your last overachiever.
Well, again, I'm going to choose someone who is actually relevant in the first half of your draft, unlike you shit kickers.
Oof.
Taylor Adams. Okay, so average the 91 Dream Team, 109 Super Coach. So if you take out one game, Luke Dunstan, who was the top averaging Dream Team midfielder, Taylor Adams is the number 5 Dream Team mid by average, which puts him at around the turn for your drafts. So possible first rounder. Number 16th Supercoach mid. So the reason is it's purely the Adam Treloar thing. We've seen Adam Treloar miss in the past. Taylor Adams has gone full ham. Probably wasn't as pronounced this year, especially in your dream team. Had the 9 games without Treloar, 8 games with. Averaged 4 points more without Treloar in Dream Team, 14 in Supercoach. The interesting thing is Treloar and Sidebottom missed almost identically. Like the games they missed, it sort of lined up as they were just one player. And, you know, one's an outside player, one's an inside, well, inside-outside player, I guess you could say. Treloar's pretty well everywhere. I just don't see these numbers sustaining, and I think he's going to go early enough for me to justify this pick being a thing. You consider the goalie mismatches, the emergence of Josh Dacos. I just find it hard to believe that he sustains that sort of productivity as much as he's been a good player in
the first year Taylor Adams actually completed a full season as well?
No, it was 3 years ago. Remember when he just had that banger season?
Like 110 or whatever it was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He played every game and, yeah. I mean, look, he's a good player. I'm throwing shade at Taylor Adams. I just think he comes back to the pack a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. And as you said, they do regain Sidebottom and Treloar as well. So
Where would you feel comfortable drafting him?
Me? Yeah. In Dream Team, probably the... I'd probably want him. He's a good fantasy player. I'm not hating on him. I'd probably want him at the start of the third in Dream Team. Probably fifth in Supercoach.
Yep. I think like if he was there late second, I'd probably move on him. I reckon.
So if you're doing that, you've had pick 1, 2, or 3. Right? So who have you chosen at 1, 2, or 3? So who are you pairing him with?
Yeah. Grundy, okay. McRae.
That's always the question.
Yeah, I don't think it's an automatic selection for Grundy, so I think it'll be mid in that instance.
Who knows? Who knows? Yeah. We don't know what the positions are gonna look like next year.
Yeah, so. Grundy could be a defender.
He's not playing for the Bulldogs, is he?
Is he? Got me.
No, he could be an actual defender.
Bulldogs need a ruck / defender. He's tall. He can take a mark. Bevo, get the deal done. All right, we are going to move on to the part of the show that you guys actually probably tune in to listening to. That is the ISO draft. This week, we are doing all things soft drinks. Nothing is off limits here except for soda water and kombucha cans and sparkling water. So get stuffed.
Who won last week? What was the result?
Me. I won. Jono lost. That's the important
part. Yeah, I knew that Jono was going to lose. I just want lose. I want to see if I beat you.
Oh, no.
No, it was a couple percent.
Ah.
Maybe okay. More. But Kim, guess what? You got pick one.
Oh, yes.
Balls this up.
Yes.
Balls
this up. There is only one pick one soda in the world, and that is Coke.
Don't call it soda.
No sugar. Lock it in.
I got 48%, you got 41%, Jono got 9%.
Yes! Single digits!
Wait, so Cam's got pick 1. What did you take, Cam?
Coke, no sugar.
Coke zero.
Coke zero. I'm going to
take... Jono's giving himself pick 2.
I have.
Jono just gives himself the best slot every week.
But you see, I'm not even going to take the best pick. I'm taking Pepsi, regular Pepsi.
So Jono's taking Pepsi.
Wow.
The superior cola.
No one's ever said that.
What?
No, someone did say that. I poo-poo it. So can I take Coke? Just you plain Coke? Yeah, I'll take plain Coke. Wasn't expecting that. Coke Zero?
Coke Zero, man.
That's all actually what I drink at home, but...
All the taste of Coke, none of the diabetes. Love it.
Hmm. What am I going to take on the wrap? Am I trying to win the poll or am I trying to go with my taste buds? Then I will take creamy soda.
Oh, good pick.
It's early. It feels early.
It does feel early.
But it's not going to come back to me.
I'm not taking it at all. But I'm going with my taste buds and my favorite hangover drink ever. It is vanilla Coke. If you see me drinking vanilla Coke, I'm hungover as fuck. And I drank 2 bottles of it yesterday.
It's just, which one do I go with? There's 2 here. Okay, I'm going to lock in Passiona.
He's taken the craft beers.
What? Passiona?
Passiona no, there is... Don't you remember there was the Batuta Advocate article that was like 86% of all craft beers are just Passiona.
Oh, yeah. Yep. On the wrap. We go to 4, don't we? Not 3. We go 4.
We'll go to 4.
We've
I think
been
we'll
going
go 4.
To 3, but
we should
well,
go,
we
4.
Go to 4.
We should
fine,
go to 4.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say we should do the potato draft after this.
Oh, mate, don't start me.
You don't have
so one. I'm going to lock in Portello.
Wow, what a bolter.
Yeah.
Portello.
Remember Portello?
Portello's fine.
It's very good.
I do like... I think that'll come back to me. I don't think you guys will pick it, but I do like my Schweppes lemonade. It is the most lemony of lemonades.
Vanilla in choice and vanilla in pick. Jono?
Schweppes is a longer word than you think.
They just add, throw consonants at it. We'll just put more consonants in it.
I will take Dr. Pepper. The great doctor. Man, I was addicted to that shit when I was in high school. And possibly the diabetes course. what else do I drink? I mean, I like Sprite. Give me Sprite.
And a Sprite to finish out. And I will take my Raspberry Fanta to finish out.
There is so much good stuff on the board still. I think I'm just going to lock in... Oh, it's so good. Okay, I'm going to lock in Wimmer's Lime.
What the fuck is that?
Okay, it's not a Victorian thing. I'll take it back. I'll go ginger beer.
No, you get Wimmer's
Lime.
No,
that's not a soft drink.
Ginger beer is soft drink.
What is Wimmer's Lime? Pub squash. What happened to pub squash?
Do they not have Wimmer's Lime in Victoria?
Maybe. I'm in I was in the Wimmera and I never heard of Wimmers.
I don't drink this, indie fucking soft drink, mate.
What do you mean? Fuck, it's so good. Oh my God.
Yeah, fucking indie. Fuck
you. Oh my God.
Give me the conglomerates.
What'd you take? Fucking Wim's ginger fucking lime or something?
Wimmer's Lime. I stand by it. It's so good. If you guys see it in a shop one day,
mail
Wimmer's
it down.
Lime.
Yeah, okay. Send us a case.
Because I can't imagine setting foot in Queensland ever again.
It's surely not a Queensland drink.
Man, Solo left undrafted. Fanta undrafted.
Fanta's shit. Fanta's shit.
Sunkist. Orange Fanta's shit.
They still make Sunkist,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Orange Fanta's shit. The other flavour of Fanta is better. If you ever go to one of those obscure lolly shops and that, they got the like 20 different flavors of Fanta in America. It's great.
I think once you fall under the Fanta umbrella, you are tainted, like a turd falling into my drink.
Grape Fanta, great hangover drink.
Grape is a great is a fantastic flavor.
Yeah, Grape Fanta. If remember you get your hands warheads? On it. Oh hell yeah!
Sell warheads.
Fucking grape warhead. That was good shit.
Fucking earth. Believe it or not, we've actually got some questions this week.
What the?
That's hard to believe.
Oh no!
I can't believe people are listening. I've seen the numbers; they're in the negative.
And the followers, they're dropping off. We're down 10 followers.
People are uploading our pod. People are uploading the pod.
The first question is from Ninja Spoon. He asks, is Tim English in 2021 a trap? Gorn and Grundy thinks we'll go early, but is English a realistic top tier, or should we just grab a midfielder and an okay ruck? Go the second option.
I am 100% chips in Tim English next year.
Yeah, so is that the same as you were with Sean Darcy, Steve?
Yeah, that didn't work out particularly well. So sorry to Tim English. Sean Darcy, Western Victorian, imagine letting me down. What a cunt.
Well, the pride is I get to solo ruck this week against old Big Nate the Tank.
His actual ruck work has been good. He just does literally nothing around the ground.
See, that's the opposite of Tim English.
Yeah. That's why I'm all chips in Tim English. I've seen fucking Reece Stanley was better than Sean Darcy.
Yeah, that's not great. Not great. Bangers of Mash, Phil B asks, is Brody Grundy regressing? Now, if you watch the elimination final on Saturday night, Grundy only played 50-odd% ruck time, and that's not good if they're going to load him and Darcy Cameron up to share loads for next year. So, again, one to watch. We did see this with, what, Mason Cox or Jared Witts a few years ago, so wait and see on that one for sure.
I think the problem with Grundy is if you sign a guy to a massive long-term deal, you need him to play out a lot of that long-term deal, right? Does that make sense? I mean, look at Buddy, he's fucked.
Yeah, he's still going to take $1 million to the bank.
Yeah. So I find it hard to believe that they don't protect their investment a little bit and give him some help.
Yeah, agree. Dottie says Pepsi shits on Coke. Agreed. Alex Petropoulos, he says Kirk's cold beer and creaming soda deserve the love. Now, before we started recording, we had no idea what the cold beer is. So if you can let us know what the hell it is, we think it's like a sarsaparilla type sort of thing. So if I see it in the supermarket, I'll get a can. But creaming soda is good. Jolt Cola, man, that's ancient.
Oh, I remember Jolt Cola, and that shit was the tits.
That was just pure sugar, wasn't it?
And caffeine.
Yeah. Yep. I certainly remember that. Frogger, he preferred Thirst Quencher, solo versus traditional lemon lemonades. Okay. Rank the colas. Does anybody actually drink sarsaparilla? Does Persisto harbour any passion fruit flavour?
Persisto.
Yeah, so Cedars. It was either going to be Pasito or Passiona, and it's just whatever's in the fridge at the time, and it's Passiona for that reason.
Okay. Solo is the ultimate thirst quencher. 7-Up versus Sprite. Sprite all day long.
This is interesting because I really only get 7-Up despite drafting Sprite because which fast food outlet sells lemonade?
KFC.
The Great Colonel sells the Pepsi brand drink, so I get the 7-Up.
Yeah.
Did you guys see, just on Solo, did you guys see the Solo guy, remember that like ad, the Slam It Down Fast ad from the 90s?
Stone Cold in a kayak, yeah.
Yeah. He got caught and arrested in Colombia this week on, like, drug charges. He looks haggard. Like, really, really haggard. Like, Stato pre-diet haggard.
Yikes.
Oh, yeah. That is haggard. Rush Shout 24.
Out to Stato, by the way.
Yeah. Hey, Stato.
Wherever you may be. No, he's still alive. Rush 2468. Does Jai Simpkin lose forward status next year? I think so.
You'd have to say so, surely.
Tom DT asked early prediction for highest scoring player next year. Tom Mitchell. Yep. Alex Petropoulos, yet again, unpopular opinion. Dr. Pepper should be a first rounder.
Should be, but you don't have to. That's why you take him in the third.
Yeah, my boy Daniel Thomas Vanilla Coke is a sleeper. Fucking A.
You took him in the second round.
That's a sleeper. Could have gone first round.
What? Is it?
Here's Timmy C. AC Cola. How did we forget about AC Cola? The Kmart. The
30 cents a can. Gotta love it. Like $10 a block.
Yeah. So good, though.
Yeah, AC Cola was the shit.
Mountain Dew and Dr. Pepper Sliders. That is all.
Yeah, give Mountain me all Dew. That crab juice.
Yeah.
Cluff.
Hey,
and that's
question
all
for you guys on regression, because I was looking at wingers, right? Before we went into the show, I was looking at, you know, is Lockie Hunter a case for regression because he went bananas this year, but he actually kind of just scored on his average normally based on the time that he was on ground, right? So if you extrapolate to a normal game, he's probably only going to score about the same because the time on ground is about the same. What happens if they go to 18 minutes next year?
You get 2 minutes.
Do you think wingers may actually just see a massive increase because they stay on ground for extra 2 minutes?
Well, it can't be massive, sure.
Well, not massive, but five-point increase.
It might be an extra kick and mark. Kick and mark, potentially, something like that.
Maybe not, because, I mean, remember, the defensive pressure can be ramped up and all that sort of horseshit. Stato knows more about that sort of stuff than we do.
Yeah, more junk time, I thought, and then, you know, extra 2 minutes is not that much more, so they probably won't sub off. I don't know. Might maintain that percent time on ground.
I don't know. You'd love to have picked him up in a keeper league this year, wouldn't you? Fucking bang!
Did you get Hunter this year?
Yeah. I traded him.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oof. Yeah. That's right. He'll be going to jail soon, so it's fine.
You heard it here. Tom Brown on the draft.
Tom Brown.
He used to be a lawyer. We should just
have it. He used to be a lawyer.
I was a lawyer, mate.
Jeez.
Mate.
Oh, I'd love to have a beer with Tom Brown. I just want to have a beer with him.
We should start pumping up Tom Brown. That should be our thing. Everyone else shit cans him. We should pump him up.
I love him. I think he's great because he's just not self-aware.
He should be on the show. Is that what you're saying?
I'll get him on. It'll just be him potentially just talking about potential, wouldn't he?
Wait, but nice. Potentially. But did you see what happened to the Suns? You became a lifelong Suns member, and this year they went okay, and they're on a high, upwards trajectory. Tom Brown. Lifelong Tom Brown fan.
Yeah, let's get some t-shirts, mate. Potentially. That's all the t-shirt is, potentially. With a kebab. With a kebab. Or the eye. Would you make the kebab an eye or the O?
I'd buy it.
That's the first shirt we've sold.
Yeah. Doss bought all the Gotorini ones.
Oh, that's true, he did.
Shit. All right. That is going to wrap up the show for this week. If you've got any questions or queries, hit us up on the social medias at The Draft Doctors on Twitter and Facebook. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to The Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.